We are just coming back. We had visitors.
Break.
Yeah, a little drink break there. Unexpected. It was great though. From what Ku Coffee in Little Saigon here.
I needed that after the drive.
That little kick, yeah. Right? So yeah, we got to pick up where we left off. I would love to know the process of you making these wonderful videos. Like, tell me a little bit about how they're put together.
So yeah, a lot of times, you probably know this, making content is difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, this requires a lot of time, effort, energy, all that stuff, right? And on top of that, when you have a 9-to-5, it's even more difficult because when are you going to have time to edit? When are you going to have time to do all of that? So with my talking head video, I usually will, you know, write my script and think of a way to, you know, storytell something that is personal to me, right? Like, for example, the video of me coming back from Vietnam, I talked about, you know, that post-trip depression. But for the other videos where I, you know, compile clips together with songs and then a text overlays, that's like quicker edits. But I love to document everything when I'm out in Vietnam. So I have backlogs of footages from Vietnam. So a lot of the times when you see some of my videos, my hair's buzzed because, you know, like, yeah. I use footage from the past. And for those ones, I didn't like edit anything at all. For like a long time, I didn't feel like editing for a while because every time I would look at those footages, I just miss the memory so much that I'm like, I don't want to look at it, right? But doing content, you just have to learn how to recycle footages. And
you file it away and write? Like
I would document and I would organize it, you know, like Vietnam 2025, 2024, 2023, where we're at, are we in Ninh Binh, you know, like that lateral, wherever, right? And I would have, you know, I would think of an idea or like a feeling that I felt and I want to talk about it. And sometimes, you know, like making a video would take a lot of time. So I would just write it in my captions or in the video.
Got it. Right? Got it. And so, then you have all this B-roll.
And I have all this B-roll.
Yeah.
So those are like my quicker content. But, you know, sometimes I love to talk more detailed about those feelings and how I feel about certain topic. For example, like a couple weeks ago during April.
You know, we were at the Bao Han Saigon Bon Bon event, and you put together this crazy viral video of Bao Han.
Oh man.
Yeah, we were all blown away how viral that thing went, you know? And kudos to that. Arguably, that's what put you on the map to a lot of us, you know?
Thank you. I was really honored to be invited to, you know, that event because not only I was able to witness something so beautiful, but also getting the opportunity to connect more with community leaders such as you and Julie and other creators in our community. And it was just like a pinch me moment kind of night for me. And I was really nervous, but like excited at the same time. The whole event moved me so much because Johnny was the one that invited me out there and he wanted my help with interviewing people. He didn't expect me to make that video.
Yeah.
He just wanted me to edit like the interview video, right? But then I was really compelled to tell my version of what happened that night, what I witnessed. And, you know, like the story tells itself, you know, the love story of Bao Hung and T tells itself. And I was just trying to recite what I saw.
Yeah.
And I think it's not because I said it, it's because of the story of what happened. Mm. I think because I got moved so much by it, I was able to convey that same emotion in my video.
You know, I hope that you never give up. I hope that you never stop. Because if you're standing where I'm standing and looking at, you know, Chris Little Saigon Official and I, Chris and I are watching this. You know, we met 5-6 years ago. We both started basically at the same time, and just seeing all like the new wave of people coming up like you, when you have 6 to 10 years in, and then you start looking back at all the young people, you will start to see that we are not capturing enough of the Bauhuns. We're not, because there's only one Jason that did that, right? But imagine that. This stuff is going on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I say this because I think that we need to have more people capturing more of these wonderful moments in the Vietnamese history, both in Vietnam and in the United States and Europe and Australia. We need to have more Jasons and more young people, because Chris and I are only two guys.
Kenneth too, because you inspire a lot of us, and you know, like, you are actually doing something wonderful right now. Is you're building a bank of stories. You know, you're capturing all of these stories from all of the Vietnamese Americans and the Vietnamese abroad, right, into this collection of stories. And for me, I'm just like a storyteller.
Yeah.
I like telling, you know, my own personal story, but you are the collector of all these stories. And, you know, I gotta give you the respect for that as well.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate you so much. A dear friend, Thuy Minh, just put "have a sip" on pause, or I don't know what the deal with Vietcetera and all of that is, but I want to bring her up because of the work that she did. Hundreds and hundreds of episodes that they put together for "Have a Sip." It's the equivalent of what I do at the Vietnamese Podcast. And I think that having more "Have a Sips" and the Vietnamese Podcast and all of these proliferate into the world has actually strengthened the Vietnamese story around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, with "Have a Sip," with the Vietnamese Podcast, Win Dynasty, with your brand of storytelling. And I really do really want to constantly encourage more people to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I 100% agree with that. I think more people need to talk to each other. More mm-hmm. people need to interview their parents, talk to their parents, you know. Doesn't have to be on camera, right? But at least, you know, like, there's actually, I was gifted a journal by Nancy Leung. She sent me this journal that has all types of different questions that I could ask my parents and write it down. So shout out to Nancy for that, because she gave me that over the weekend. And, you know, like, thinking of new questions to ask your parents could be really difficult,
hard.
Right? Very hard. You actually inspired some of the question as well. But her giving me that, I'm able to, you know, like, find questions to ask my dad and then write it down. But, you know, I encourage everybody, especially when you still have them, to ask questions and to dig deeper into their story.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a story, and I just want to know what there is like. And if everybody can understand each other, right? As we talked about earlier, a lot of Vietnamese like to bottle that emotion and keep their stories inside. So I feel like when we start to understand each other more, we're able to see our differences, but then our similarities, and that's what's going to bring us together. Yeah.
I think we're all just getting started, man.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think we're all just like on the first phase of the work that we're doing.
Right.
You know, it's really new. I mean, it's like 6 years. "Have a Sip" started. I started at the same time Thuy Minh did. She started a month before me, September 2020. I started October 2020. You just started. I mean, it's like a blip. But in 20, 30 years from now, our stories are going to be so rich with how many episodes, how much material we have, and it really will solidify sort of like our Vietnamese brand to the entire world.
Right.
And I think that's the mission, and it's the beauty, I think, of working together in this space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to know that, like, as many times as you need to reach out and be on my podcast, you just say the word, Jason, you know?
Thank you so much.
You just say the word.
I remember seeing this, like, your podcast basically, like, a couple years ago. Maybe the start when I first started Win Dynasty is when I start seeing your podcast. And it's crazy because I want to tell you the story is the reason why I started in Nguyen Dynasty is because I didn't feel like there was enough representation of Vietnamese people, especially Vietnamese people living abroad. I didn't feel that representation coming back from Taiwan, right? Yeah. I was having that post-trip depression and nobody from Arizona was doing it, right? And besides Chris from Little Saigon, there wasn't a lot of Vietnamese merch or Vietnamese-inspired clothing. So I just felt the need to start something like where I could wear and I feel inspired wearing it, like my representation. So the funny thing is the more I started talking about, you know, my story and all of this, sharing it, I've discovered people like you, you know, like the niche within our own community. And I feel so like now connected with the community. Before I was lost, before I was like fragmented and I was alone. So now I feel like I'm not alone anymore. I have a community here that understand what I'm going through. And I'm so glad I started the brand. And it's not just for other people, but it's also a healing process for me as well.
Absolutely. This episode is brought to you by Red Boat Fish Sauce. Some things will never be replicated by AI. The fragrance of fish sauce hitting a hot pan. The sound of your grandmother's voice telling a story only she knows. The feeling of a family recipe passed down through generations that are imperfect, alive, and completely real. Red Boat Fish Sauce has been a proud sponsor of the Vietnamese podcast for years because, like us, they believe in authenticity you can taste. And together, we're bringing you the Viet Story Bank, a recording service built on that same belief. Your stories matter. Your family's memories, your lived experiences, your history. These deserve to be preserved exactly as they are, untouched, unfiltered. They're human, so don't wait for the right moment. Learn more about the Viet Story Bank through the link in our show notes and pick up a bottle of fish sauce at H Mart, 99 Ranch, or redboatfishsauce.com.
You mentioned Julie from Share My Roots, and then there's Dana from, you know, she does
Discovers
Little Saigon and Los Angeles for Everybody. And Johnny from VidQ Media.
Yep.
Obviously, we have our main man here, Little Saigon Official, Chris Tran. And it's a beautiful community in Vietnamese American content creation circles. And I just hope it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because then we have more lily pads to jump. Yeah. I always say that, you know?
Yeah, and I love how everybody's doing something different, right? Everybody's not doing the same thing. Like Johnny's reaching out to a more global audience. You're interviewing people here. Chris is focusing on the Little Saigon community and bridging that gap between everyone. And for me, like, I feel like I'm trying to bridge that gap between
Vietnam
and
America.
Us. So everybody's doing something different. And even though we have our own lane, we have the same mission.
Absolutely. But I want to actually build on this, what you're just saying. I actually want more people in my lane, though. I want 30, 40 copycats of the Vietnamese podcast. Because this is how I think. The more voices that are interviewing people in the community, like if Johnny did it, if you did it, if Chris did it, and you guys, we all brought in the same people, you could hear each person's style bring out a different part of the guest, right?
100%.
And here's where I get the idea from. In American mainstream podcasting 15 years ago, there were comedians that start to bring up friends that were relatively unknown, right? And I'll just say it, it's a Joe Rogan podcast, right?
Yes.
He started bringing in all these like comedians that none of us knew. After 2 years, we started to know who Joey Diaz was, Bill Burr. We started to know all these comedians, you know, that came on the Joe Rogan show. And they came on repeatedly. That's why I am always having an open door to my friends, you, to Chris, any of the people in the Vietnamese community that want to come back on, I'll have them back on over and over again. Because that solidifies the ability for other people to know who you are on a deeper level over and over and over. But it also opens up the possibility that if my same friends have the same podcast style that I'm doing, that more people are going to tune into all the Vietnamese. Right. And from that point, you lift it exponentially. So I welcome people to jump in my niche
Yeah.
And join me. And actually, I would love for somebody to do this better than me, because, you know, maybe I'm not doing the greatest job, right? I don't know.
I think you're doing amazing.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. But we really don't know.
Yeah.
And what if some young gun like you jumps in and go, I want to be in that lane, in Ken's lane? I welcome it. I encourage it. I want that to happen, because I think that then I can go on that kid's podcast, right? And if he's doing it really good, I want to be amplified over and over and over again. You know, and so that's what we should be doing, yeah.
You know who is also really killing it right now is Ken.
Ken
Nguyen. Yeah, he's...
Poriotics.
Koi's in the Pond, right?
Yeah. Do you know he's a dancer, right?
Yes, yes.
Like an original, you know...
Uh-huh. He used to work for Wong Fu production too, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think like I grew up watching that.
It's his heyday was like a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Like Poriotics was huge when I was growing up. You know, it was when I was growing up. I'm older than, but when I was coming up, and we had a movie, we had a hip hop film from Vietnam. So we worked with Ken, but Ken was on the podcast too. But he has such a beautiful podcast that he's doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
shout out to
it.
Ken.
He's killing it. Yeah.
We need more guys like that. We need him, and we need many more to continue this dialogue. What we're doing, you know. What does it mean to be Vietnamese to you?
Oh wow. It means a lot of things to me. I mean, as I said, like, I'm not just American or Vietnamese. I'm both, and I'm whole. It's not 50% of each. It's 100% of both. Being Vietnamese to me is not just about the food or the áo dài that we wear, right? To me, being Vietnamese is understanding our history, but then what are we doing with that knowledge? What are we doing to bridge the gap, right? Being Vietnamese to me feels beyond just like the cultural stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of impact am I doing for everyone else? Because if you have the opportunity, I talk about this all the time, is if you have the opportunity to help out everybody from your community, why wouldn't you do so?
Right.
Even if, you know, maybe they don't have the greatest intention, but for you, you are doing what you think is benefiting your community.
Yeah.
And I talk about this all the time, is let's not gatekeep from each other. Let's promote each other even more, right? And if they have a bad intention from it and they're benefiting off of you, that's on them. But you are just trying to help out everybody as much as possible.
Yeah, this idea of gatekeeping is very... it's very interesting, because it can go two ways, right?
Yeah.
Gatekeeping could be a very lethal thing if you really actively engage in keeping people out. But it also creates this feeling of exclusivity to the members who are on the inside and on the outside. So it serves its purpose. But I think we probably should focus on dropping the gatekeeping.
Yeah, because I feel like, okay, the reason why I dislike gatekeeping so much is because I feel like the Vietnamese diaspora here grew up on trying to survive and trying to, you know, basically survival of the fittest, right? How can we overcome and come out on top? And it comes with a lot of jealousy. It's a lot of jealousy when you see another person
do well,
mm-hmm. do better than you. It's like a competition. And that's the reason why I hate that word, gatekeeping, is because, you know, it's the competitive nature of Vietnamese people, right? And maybe sometimes it's not, we don't want to do it purposely, but because of trying to survive in an environment where it wasn't designed for us in the first place, it's just something that comes out naturally for us, right? So I want to make that disappear as much as possible, right? And as you said, like, there's two sides of gatekeeping.
Yeah.
One is protecting your IP and protecting your, like, you. But then also, like, there's the other side of gatekeeping where you're kind of like hiding resources from other people, from your own community, right? Not like somebody else, but like from your own community, because you don't want them to outgrow you.
Right.
And I think that's just a wrong mentality.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, we can go deep on this gatekeeping topic, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance to this, because I think members of our own community really practice gatekeeping. And you can break down gatekeeping into many different levels. holding on a resource, protecting your own resource, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not sharing your connections, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things that are pros and cons of gatekeeping, but ultimately, I think we lose, we all lose when we gatekeep.
Exactly. Right. I mean, when you sign an NDA or something, that's different, right?
Right.
Like you don't have to tell what you're doing. But I feel like, for example, a little bit of why I hate it is, you know, when I was trying to grow my brand in Arizona, and there's a lot of people out there that I respected. So when I reached out to them and I was like, hey, can you show me how to develop an LLC,
yeah,
or can we collaborate on something like this? It doesn't have to be big. They deny me because of, you know, credential. I don't have the following base. I don't have any of this. But then when I start to pick up, they reach out to me. Or, but then like I see people who was riding with me from the beginning,
yeah,
until, you know, like me gaining a few opportunities. Yeah. And at first they were willing to share some of their resources, but then, you know, like when I asked, hey, where you get that blank? They're like, oh, go find out on your own.
Wow.
You know, like they don't want to tell me. So I think that is, and I always tell them where I get,
yeah,
my stuff,
yeah, yeah,
too. So it's just like, I don't know, it's because of that competition thing that we talked about earlier, but I feel like people don't want you to outgrow them.
I'm guilty of it too. In the early days, you know, definitely not in the last 6 years, because, you know,
yeah,
I learned my lesson about 15 years ago when I did it. Somebody came to me for advice and connecting them with, I used to place movies from Vietnam into US theaters through Regal, AMC. I used to book, films for theatrical releases. And a distributor, an up-and-coming distributor came to me, Vietnamese, asked me, hey, can you make introductions to Regal and AMC? I was like, hell no, that's, you know, that's like my bread and butter. And my partners would kill me if I,
yeah,
did that, right? Like, they paid a lot of money for me to be like, put me on the payroll to do all that,
yeah,
stuff. I couldn't. But looking back, I mean, was that a good idea to gatekeep? No, it was not. And I think today I pay the price of that relationship still.
Mm.
You know, when I, the more I look at, into it. So it's never, I think it's definitely going to be a negative effect overall,
yeah,
than a positive effect. So
for me, this is how I view it, right? You can give people the ingredient, but can they cook the same sauce as you?
100%.
So it doesn't matter if, you know, like you've seen cooking shows, right?
Yep.
Everybody have the same even playing field.
Right.
They all have the same ingredient, but can they cook a better
dish.
Food than you, a better dish than you?
Yeah.
No.
I agree.
So you can lay out all the resources, right? They have access to the same resource as you, but whoever put in the work and,
yeah,
putting the effort to do it, that's who's going to come out the top.
And yeah, and I think ultimately that really says everything about what we're given in life, which is like that amount of salt, that amount of pepper will make a huge difference as you're cooking up your own content, your own dish.
Yes.
Jason, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I was waiting.
Thank you
know,
so much.
Very looking forward to this talk, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, and again, like, thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Chris, for letting us use your space. You know, like, the first time I came into here, you weren't here, but I was like, this is like
a
dream come true, you know, like, because I live over in Phoenix, so I was like, finally, I'm here. So,
well, look, let's get you back on soon again. You
Thank
know,
you.
I look forward to the content that you create.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thanks,
Same
Jason.
As well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.